From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has demanded greater change in Iran. That includes dropping its nuclear program, pulling back from regional conflicts such as the Syrian civil war, and its support for militant groups like the Lebanon-based Hezbollah.
Thanks to Iran, Hezbollah provides the ground forces for the military expedition in Syria. The IRGC, too, has continued to pump thousands of fighters into Syria to prop up the murderous Assad regime and help make that country 71,000 square miles of kill zone.
Pompeo outlined new steps the Trump administration is taking.
We will apply unprecedented financial pressure on the Iranian regime. The leaders in Tehran will have no doubt about our seriousness. Thanks to our colleagues at the Department of Treasury, sanctions are going back in full effect and new ones are coming. Last week, we imposed sanctions on the head of Iran's central bank and other entities that were funneling money to the IRGC Quds Force. They were also providing money to Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations. The Iranian regime should know that this is just the beginning.
The secretary said if Iran makes major change, the U.S. is prepared to ease sanctions, reestablish full diplomatic and commercial relations, and support Tehran's reintegration into the global economic system. Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, dismissed the remarks, insisting his government will continue its path with the support of the people. The Burundian Electoral Council said voters Thursday overwhelmingly approved a new constitution, changes expected to keep President Pierre Nkurunziza in power to 2034. It said 73% voted in favor of amendments extending the presidential term from 5 to 7 years and allow Mr. Nkurunziza to seek two more terms beginning in 2020. The opposition rejected the result while the U.S. said the process was marred. This is VOA News. Syrian forces have restored control over areas surrounding the capital Damascus for the first time since the early days of the civil war. They forced the withdrawal of Islamic State fighters from the southern al-Hajar al-Aswad district, along with the adjacent Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp. This is yet another victory for the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. Stephen Zunis, regional analyst from the University of San Francisco, said such even opponents of the regime are glad to see the IS go.
Which had terrorized quite a few people in the area. And, of course, the counterinsurgency campaign by the Syrian government and its supporters was also quite devastating.
The Syrian high command vowed to continue the fight against terrorists in the country. Domestic and international reaction to the re-election of Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro has been almost universally negative, seeing it as cementing a socialist autocracy. The 55-year-old Maduro took nearly 70% of the vote in Sunday's ballot, although less than 50% of eligible voters took part. Jennifer McCoy is a Georgia State University political science professor.
The low turnout and the fact that really less than 30% of the Venezuelan people voted for him, according to official figures, does weaken his political position in the country and weaken his claim to a mandate to continue his policy.
The U.S. Monday announced new sanctions restricting the country's ability to liquidate state assets and debt in the U.S., aimed at choking off financing for the cash-strapped nation. Gina Haspel, a 30-year veteran of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, was sworn in Monday as the spy agency's first female director. President Donald Trump watched as Vice President Mike Pence delivered the oath to the 61-year-old Haspel at a ceremony at CIA headquarters near Washington.
You live in the CIA, you live the CIA, you breathe the CIA, and now you will lead the CIA. Congratulations.
Haspel replaces Mike Pompeo, who took up the post of Secretary of State. At least 4 people were killed, 9 wounded in eastern Ukraine, the latest violence between Russian-backed rebels and the Ukrainian army, northeast of the rebel-held city of Donetsk. Fighting over the past week is described as the worst this year. The death toll from last week's plane crash in Cuba has risen to 111. A 23-year-old student died in a Havana hospital Monday, one of 3 who initially survived Friday's crash of the Mexico-based chartered plane. Brazilian fishermen rescued 25 African migrants found drifting off the country's northeast coastline after 5 weeks at sea. The migrants are from Guinea, Nigeria, and Senegal. U.S. stocks rallied Monday with the benchmark Dow Jones posting a nearly 300-point gain to 25,013. Investors breathing a sigh of relief over an imminent trade war between the U.S. and China.
That's the latest world news from VOA.